Now, in 1 Corinthians, hear me please. In 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verse 24, 25, 26. You know, there are three R's. Everybody say three R. Russia, three R. Number one, read. Okay, let's do that. Okay, everybody say read. Okay, Emmanuel, where's your wife? I'm coming to your house afterwards, okay? You know what? The first one is read. Now, in verse 24, okay, Paul says this. He takes the bread. He receives a revelation from the Lord Jesus. And he takes the bread and gives thanks to the Father. He breaks it and gives to the disciple and said, this bread, it symbolizes my broken body, right? And Jesus said, as you eat this bread, do this in remembrance of me. Everybody say remembrance. Remembrance. What is the next R? Remembrance. Everybody say remembrance. Very easy, right? Remembrance. And then he takes the cup like manna in verse 25. And he says, this is the blood through which I've made a new covenant for you. And he says, as often as you drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me. Okay? Now, we read, we're reading, and we're doing this concurrently. Okay? Now, the word remembrance here is to remember the finished work of Jesus. The finished work of Jesus. Ephesians 1:7, we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus through the forgiveness of our sin according to the manifold grace of God. Right or wrong? And this remembrance is about the finished work of Jesus, as I said, as in Isaiah 53 verse 5. Jesus was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The punishment of our peace was upon him, and by the wounds of Jesus, we are healed. Come on, somebody say amen, please. And then in verse 26, in verse 26, he said, Jesus said, as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Everybody say, till he comes. The word till he comes is a reminder. Everybody say, reminder. It's a reminder. You see, read, right? I read, I remember. Remember the verses and remembrance and reminder. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Isn't that wonderful? Come on, isn't that wonderful? You know, today, as we look at the world today, look at the world today, you know, politically, economically, you know, in every aspect, the world is being torn apart, right or wrong. You know, recently, the earthquake in Afghanistan, okay, and then the floods in China, India, the famine, the war that's raging, right or wrong, you know, and the next is famine. We're going to develop a farm, don't worry. Anybody wants to be part of it, just call Pastor Boy. Someone has given us land, we're going to see and develop and give you free papaya, free long beans and lady's finger and chili if you want. You all need chili, right? Okay? So anyway, coming to this, okay? Now, the world is in a disarray, okay? Now, these are the telltale signs that we are in the last days. Somebody say, last days. Okay, there are so many seminars that are going on end time. We don't just read them, we have to live them. Can somebody say amen, please? And this is, I entitled this short message, A Powerful or Timely Reminder. Everybody say reminder. After this pandemic, the church cannot be the same. If the church remains the same, then something is wrong. The devil has deceived us. This pandemic is a clear sign that the Lord is coming soon. A powerful reminder. Everybody say powerful reminder. Are you here with me? In Revelation 22, in one chapter, in verse 7, verse 12, verse 20. Okay? These three verses. You know what Jesus said? One thing. I'm coming. No, Laila. Taya datang. Naan varugiren. Lay Laila. You know, come. That means, you know, I'm coming. I'm coming and your reward is with me. I'm coming. And then in verse 22, he says this with a great intensity. He says, I am coming quickly. Come on. You and I can lie, but the Lord will not lie. Come on. Somebody say amen, please. A powerful reminder. Everybody say powerful reminder. And then Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, everybody look at me. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 1, 2, and 3, he says, brethren, I don't need to tell you about the time and season we are living in. He goes on to say, we are living in the time and season of the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is not Easter. The day of the Lord is not Good Friday. The day of the Lord is the coming of the Lord. And then he goes on to say, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Like a thief in the night. Can somebody say amen, please? Very unexpectedly. And he says this, men will begin, verse 3, men will begin to say peace and what?
Safety.
Peace and safety. And suddenly there'll be destruction. Like a lady that would go into a labor pain. Are you here with me? Come on, somebody say amen, please. And they shall not escape. The day of the Lord is an event that nobody can escape. Say, nobody can escape. Either you escape to heaven or you escape in the earth. Okay, day of the Lord. Are you here with me? Come on. Wave your hands to me, please. What is the purpose of this message? What is the purpose of this message? The purpose of this message is the urgency of the time. The urgency of the time. Turn to your neighbor and say, the urgency of the time. That's right. In the midst, look at me. In the midst of your transition, in the midst of you wanting to have a breakthrough, in the midst where you want to see God bless you, you know, in the midst where your relationships need to be healed, in the midst of all this, there must be an urgency. Everybody say urgency. There must be a Holy Ghost quickening in our heart to remind us that we are in the last of the last days. We are in the 11th hour. We are in the days of the coming of the Lord. Can somebody say amen, please? And nobody can escape this. No way. So what is the urgency then? There are two things that I want to talk about. Number one, Jesus is not coming back for the church. Jesus is not coming back for the house of God. Jesus is not coming back for the body of Christ. Jesus is not coming back for the army of God. But Jesus is coming back for the bride. For the bride. Come on. In these last days, we need to position ourselves as the bride. Everybody say bride. Come on. Everybody say bride. There was a wedding this morning. The Chinese, of course. Agnes got married. She's one of our missionaries to Cambodia. And the bride coming in. So bright, the bride coming in. You know, so done up, well done up. You know, like polishing a car like that. No. She's coming. You know, ladies, that's your privilege, you know. You know, seriously. I recently attended a wedding. And I cannot recognize the bridesmaid. Seriously. Huh? Did you go for a facelift or what? And you know what she told me? No, this is makeup. My goodness. This is like makeover, not makeup. Are you here with me or not? Serious, remember? Serious. You know what I'm talking about. I cannot. Now look at me, please. He's not coming back for somebody like that. He's not. Come on, look at me. Everybody look at me. This is important. This involves you and me. He's coming back for the bride. We need to position church. We need to position ourselves as a bride. We cannot position ourselves as playing church. We cannot. We need to get serious. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Are you here with me? Isn't that wonderful? I want to remind you, look at me. I want to remind you of the parable. The parable of this 10 virgins. And this is found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. The parable of 10 virgins. Are you here with me? Everybody look at me. You know, there were 10 virgins and all ready to get married. Itu waktu sudah sampai mereka mau merdeka. Okay? And then, right. Marriage, yeah, Catherine, true. You know? And you know what? All of them heard this announcement that the bridegroom is coming. You know, not one bridegroom, 10 of them coming. Okay? And you know what? They quickly took the lamb and lit the lamb. Lamb. You know, and when they lit the lamb and started the journey, that journey divided the virgins into two groups. The one with extra oil were called the wise virgins. Extra oil. Say extra oil. That's right. And then those who don't have the extra oil, they were the foolish virgins. So they went. And they went, and they waited. Lo and behold, the coming of the bride was delayed. Everybody says delayed. You know, friends, the coming of the Lord is like that. If you look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Look at me. Many of you may ask, I've been in the church for the last 40 years. They're always saying Jesus is coming. Nobody is coming, only the pastor is coming and going. Why? Look at the scripture. Come on, look at the scripture. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing. Look at that. With one thing. With the Lord, one day is what? Thousand, not thousand days, my friends. Come on, let wisdom kick in. One day is equivalent to 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So look at the next one. The Lord is not slackened towards his promise, as some count slackness. Sampai mati kita tunggulah. No, but is what? Long suffering. Why long suffering? Why is this delay? Long suffering towards us, so that people like Catherine, who got saved not long ago, if Jesus had come, say, voa. Huh? You just got saved a couple of years back, you know, and long suffering towards us. Not willing. That's God's intention. Not willing that any should be destroyed, but all should come to repentance. Put your hands together. Give Jesus the glory. Hallelujah. Delay in the coming of the Lord is not denial. It's not denial. Delay of the coming of the Lord is not a disappointment. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. Isn't that wonderful? Lo and behold, going back to the parable. The bridegroom was delayed and all of them slept. Not only just slept, slumbered. Slumbered. The church is in slumber. The church is in complacency. The church is in compromise. The church is just in religiosity, playing church week after week. Are you here with me? Those here and on the chair, online. We need to get ready. We need to get ready. Tell somebody, I need to get ready. Hallelujah. That's right. Don't let the lack of your blessing, don't let the lack of your promotion, don't let the lack of the good things in your life delay you in being urgent towards the coming of the Lord. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Delayed. They slept and slumbered. And then midnight, everybody say midnight. A very unlikely hour, midnight. They heard the bridegroom is coming, and they sounded, oh, the bridegroom is coming. And quickly, all of them got up. Everyone has got a lamp, and they lit the lamp. Only 5 of them had extra oil. While they were trimming the lamb, oil lamb, the foolish ones asked the wise ones, could you give us the oil? They said, no, we can't. It's just enough for us. And they went out to buy. By the time they came back, the marriage chamber was closed. They were denied. Their waiting was in vain. Their slumber and their sleep was in vain. Their preparation was in vain. And all this is in vain. You know why? Just one reason. The oil is not the Holy Spirit. Just one reason. They were not well prepared. They were prepared, but not well prepared. How many times you've heard this message? I've been in this church for how many years? I've screamed it out from the top of my voice. Jesus is coming back. They were well prepared. And then verse 13, Matthew 25, verse 13 says this. So therefore, look at verse 13. Watch therefore, you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Come on, somebody say amen, please. An ordinary church member cannot become a bride. Cannot. He has to become extraordinary. What do I mean? This is the pre-requirement for a bride. Come on, let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3. And let's look at verse 10. Can you give me verse 10? Is it? No. Verse, no. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11 and 14. Give me 11 and 14. Just give me 11 first. Now, what is the pre-requirement for a bride? Look at this. In 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter talks about the coming of the Lord and he says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be? A bride has to be found in a holy conduct and godliness. Holy conduct and godliness. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Nothing legalistic about being holy in conduct. Nothing legalistic about being godly. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. What do I mean? And Paul and Peter defines the three components of a holy conduct and godliness. The three components of a holy conduct and godliness. Look at verse what? 14. Give me verse 14. Look at verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things. What are these things? The coming of the Lord. David, this is your final message, David. Take it back to Korea and preach it to the Koreans. If you can, become a missionary to North Korea and be headed there. Therefore, beloved, looking. Pyongyang, looking forward. Look at everybody, look at it. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things. The coming of the Lord. And say, be diligent. Be diligent. Everybody say diligent. That's why I say ordinary church members are callous. Be diligent to be found by him in peace. You know what this peace is? Having a consistent intimacy with God. Bangun pagi berdoa pagi. Makan petang berdoa petang. Mau tidur malam berdoa malam. You know what I'm talking about? You know, wake up in the morning to pray. Eat in the afternoon and pray. Before you go to sleep, pray. Intimacy with God. It simply means a man and woman who has got a journey with God. Are you here with me? Can somebody say amen, please? And then without spot. Without spot. We are not defiled by the world. Or blame and blameless. And blame without spot or wrinkle. Wrinkle, that's what some scriptures would say. Are you here with me? Let me just define this. If you want to know, in one or two words, this is it. Psalms 1, verse 1 and 2, to begin with. I want to have a holy conduct. I want to have godliness. Just start with this. Psalms 1, verse 1 and 2. You know what it says? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man who does not stand in the path of a sinner. Blessed is the man who does not sit at the seat of the scornful, but his diligent delight is to meditate on God's word day and night, and he will be like a tree planted by the waters, and his roots will be in the water. In season, he will bring forth fruit. His leaves will not wither, and all that he does will prosper. Get connected with the word of God. When you get connected with the word of God, you will get connected with the writer of the word. When you get connected with the writer of the word, then you will know the time and the season that God is bringing us into. Come on, put your hands together. Give Jesus the glory. Hallelujah. Come on, isn't that wonderful? Come on, everybody, isn't that wonderful? Come on, in this compromising world, in this world of immorality, in this world of LGBT, in this world where people don't recognize male and female and can say others, God wants us to live a holy life. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, he who called you, look at this, he who called you is holy. The word holy means not just wearing white. Holy means set apart for God. I am God's own. And in all your conduct. And it says, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody look at me. And when I was preparing, I wrote this down because I don't have time to type. Now look at me, please. You know, I didn't forget typing, you know, COVID, no. The Lord told me this. The Lord told me this. Those who got here, hear this. Prophetically, he told me this. That I'm positioning my church no longer as any other entity, but as a bride. He said that. He said, I'm positioning. You know, nobody is perfect, but we can do the right thing in the right way. Come on, somebody say amen, please. So today, we need to set our hearts right. We need to set our hearts right. Someone calls me from Kota Kinabalu. This lady received miracles, healed, set free, just got saved. Pastor, I've got a deal. And this deal is all about this. I said, give me time to pray. When I prayed, the Lord said, tell her, don't get involved in this. It's a huge deal. You know the minister who got arrested recently? Sabah, political party leader. How many of you know? Ricky, you know, right? The guy who sold the... Ricky is... Are you shaking your head, Ricky? I think you are. That guy appointed agents to sell citizenship to people. You know, they make millions. You know what I told her? No, stay clear. Stay clear. You're going to stain yourself. You know, she said, Pastor, I will. I don't care for the money. I want to please the Lord. Are you here with me? Come on, a bride is one that will please the Lord. A bride is one who will look at the Lord and do what the Lord desires them to do. That's why a bride and a bridegroom are precious. Put your hands together and give Jesus the glory. Come on, let's deal with our compromises. Let's deal with our sin. Let's deal with our unholy conduct. Let's deal with our spots and wrinkles in our life. And let us live for God. Let's live for Jesus. That's why the Holy Spirit is called the Holy Spirit, not just God's Spirit. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Is it wonderful? How many of you want to be the bride of Jesus? Okay, only a few. Okay, later we... Okay, now hands going up quickly. He doesn't benefit me. You're not going to give me a marriage dinner, but a marriage supper is waiting for you. Isn't that wonderful? That's the urgency. We set ourselves right. Everybody say, we set ourselves right. Number two, I'm done with this. I told you, help me to preach short. You guys don't want to help me. Okay. Number two, the next urgency of the believers is to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel. This gospel is not valid when Jesus comes. I'm telling you, each one of us, not the department of evangelism in the church, but you and I need to become not just the preachers of the word, but the preachers of the gospel. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Are you here with me? Remember, Jesus said this in Matthew 24:14. He said, this gospel will be preached as a sign in all the world, and then the end will come. Come on, somebody say amen, please. This word will not be broadcast, but preached. Everybody say preach. Come on, are you here with me? Come on, wave your hands if you're with me. And I'm going to do it a short while. I need to remind you. When I get to heaven, the Lord will ask me how careless you were that you never told your people that these two things are important. No. I'm telling them now. If they don't want to take heed, you deal with them, Lord. You know, friends, look at me. Number one, three things. Number one, okay, Havinder, doctor, hear this, doctor. Number one, you know what? There's a greater revival waiting. Say revival waiting, greater revival. Serious. You remember, this is the theme of our church, you know. Romans 10:13 onwards. How many of you know the scripture? Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Greater revival. The question is, how will they call on whom they have not believed? How will they believe on whom they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? Without a preacher, how will they preach unless they are sent? Unless tonight I'm sending you, send. And how lovely are the feet of those who bring the gospel of peace, the glad tidings of good things. And verse 17 says this, faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word. Come on, somebody say amen, please. For this day, the Lord will have this known to you prophetically, that you will have a tongue of an evangelist. For this day, the Lord will have this known to you. You will speak as a soul winner. When you speak, the afflicted will be comforted. Those that are comforted by the world will be afflicted. And the Lord will use you to bring them into the kingdom of God. That's a prophecy for you. Are you here with me? And number two, greater evangelism. Everybody say, great evangelism. And we see in John chapter 4 verse 34 and 35, Jesus' disciples came back and Jesus told them, my food is to do the will of the Father who sent me and finish it. And then he talked about evangelism. He said, evangelize, you know, soul winning. You know what he says? Do not say, yet 4 more months, then come harvest. Lift up your eyes and see, the harvest is ready. The harvest is already ripe. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. Put your hands together. Come on. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Greater what? Evangelism. I just received a call when I was wanting to come just now. From one of our satellite church pastors, a Chinese pastor, called me and said, Pastor, this young girl called me, and she's 18 years old, and she doesn't want to believe in the things that she believes before. She's a daughter of Ishmael, and she wants to believe in Jesus. How is that possible? I said, why not possible? Are you scared? I asked. No, I am not scared. I just want you to know I want you to tell me what to do. See, the harvest is ready. The harvest is ready among the Hindus. The harvest is ready among the Taoists. The harvest is ready among the Buddhists and among the Muslims. There is no fear. Can somebody shout amen, please? The harvest is ready, not getting ready. The harvest is ready. The season of ripening is now. And if we don't harvest, what happens? Rotting will take place. Somebody else will come and harvest. Come on, somebody say amen, please. And then we are living in the time of greater what? Evangelism, harvest. Everybody say harvest. Remember Jesus said in Matthew, the 9th chapter, verse 37, 38, Jesus looked at the disciples and said, the harvest is truly plentiful. Everybody said plentiful. But the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest field. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. Isn't that wonderful? Come on, isn't that wonderful? These are the two urgencies. Number one, we are the bride. We are the bride. If you don't have the fear of God, you cannot become the bride of God. Are you here with me? Number two, we are the preachers of the gospel, preaching of the gospel. As I close right now, just 2 more minutes. Where is my congregation? the church may not have the people for you to evangelize. Your congregation is found in three places. Number one, your loved ones. Your loved ones. Lawrence, I'm sure your family members are still, some of them, not saved. Yeah. Right. Come on. Right or wrong? Huh? Right, Bobby? Not saved. My family members. What does the Bible say? Acts 30, 16, 31. How can I be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, and you and your... Look at that. Look at that. This is the promise. After 18 years of my salvation, my father gave his heart to Jesus. After 23 years of my salvation, my mother gave her heart to the Lord. My uncle died as a pastor. My father's brother in Klang had died. I was the first convert in my house. You know what? I stood the ground, wrestled in prayer. Come on, don't just call, introduce them to the church and say, that pastor will win you, and you just chinchaila, pochaila, achaila, sochaila. No, wrestle in prayer. Say, wrestle in prayer. You need to wrestle in prayer. You need to hold on to their soul, wrestle in prayer, and drive out the demons, the religious demons that are holding them. Set them free, that their hearts will be broken for Jesus. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Put your hands together. Give Jesus the glory. Wrestle. Wrestle. You know, say wrestle. What is the other word for wrestle? Prevail in prayer. Number two, your congregation is your colleague. You're working with. Like some of us, we have firms like the Tuti and all the others. We have a lot of people who don't know the Lord Jesus. You know? And you know what? The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, 14, 15. Are you with me? Wave your hands. I'm finishing. He said, you are the salt of the earth. And you are the light of the world. You are a city on the hill. You are a light that's on the lampstand that cannot be hidden. And when you begin to be that, they will see and give glory to the Father because of your good conduct and your good works. Come on. The Gentiles will come to your brightness, and the Gentiles will come to your light, and the kings to your brightness. Isaiah 60, verse 3. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Isn't it wonderful? Come on, when I went to the company to work, my manager is a backslidden Christian. I don't want to mention his name, you know. Really backslided, you know. Sipping and smoking Christian, no? And you know what? I went into work. I went in as a technical assistant in this company, you know, and then became a technical executive in the company. When I became a technical executive in the company, I had 22 people in the company in a Christian fellowship. 22 people. Every Saturday after work, we'll come together and pray. And then from this workplace, one person came to Bible school together with me. Lorraine Cheng, my classmate. Are you here with me or not? That's our influence. Glory to God. Come on, somebody say amen, please. You turn right, you turn left, you go forward, you go backward. You're a salt, you're the light, you're a city on the hill. Come on, put your hands together, give Jesus the glory. And finally, I close with this. Your congregation is your neighborhood. Your neighborhood. Those who are living on the left and the right and in front and the back. And your neighborhood is your congregation. You know, look at the scripture. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 9:22. I'm done. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak, but I have become all things to all men. All things to all men, that I might by all means save some. I purposely got involved with the committee of my neighborhood in Kamunchak. You know, I'm in charge of security. When the guards sleep, I say, sleep. But make sure you do the rounds. I ask them to sleep, but do the rounds. Because they're so underpaid, they got two jobs, you know. I say, you sleep, clever sleep, blah. As long as the neighbors don't complain, no? I'm here, don't worry. Complaint will come to me and two others. But the two others, trust me, They call me pastor. Non-believers. One is a Malay, the other one is also non-believer. You know why I got involved? My wife and I are praying that our neighborhood will come to know Jesus as their personal savior. That's why God gave us a house there. That's why where you are right now, God placed you there, not to just cozy, you know, and comfy. No, so that you can win the souls. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Stand to your feet, please. I'm done. Jesus is coming back for the bride. He's coming back for the preacher of the gospel. I want to ask you this question right now. Bride, of course, we had the progression. How many of you will say, I want to win souls? Lift up your hands. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. Lift up your hands, please. That's high, high. I lift it high. By end of this year, we want to bring somebody to Jesus. Okay, that's right. Your hands are lifted up. Come on. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus today, as the hands are lifted up, Lord, I pray that you will anoint them and they'll bring souls into the kingdom of God. That's right. Come on. Let the Lord just touch you. Hallelujah. We give you praise. We give you glory. And we honor you, dear Father. Bless every one of them, family after family. Lord, I just pray for them right now. Wherever they are, God, just bless them. You know, the Lord has good things for you. The Lord's goodness is going to be overwhelming in your life. And I assure you, you will be the carrier of God's goodness and mercy. Come on, just worship the Lord. Hallelujah.